The Diocese of Green Bay last week released the names of 46 priests who are known to have committed sexual offenses against minors, dating back to 1906. We're talking about clergy sexual abuse investigations here in Wisconsin and across the nation on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The diocese website says, quote, "It is important to note that inclusion on this list does not by itself mean that the accused priest has been found guilty of a crime or liable for any civil claim," unquote. But on Friday, Green Bay's police chief urged victims to take their stories to local law enforcement, not the church. Do you think Wisconsin should investigate how the Catholic Church has handled sex abuse complaints? What do you hope for if there is an investigation here in Wisconsin? Call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Peter Isley now. He is a founding member of Ending Clergy Abuse, as well as the organization Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. He's a survivor of childhood sexual assault by a Wisconsin priest. Peter, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Well, Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm has called for a statewide investigation into the Catholic Church's response to reports of child sex abuse over the last half century. How likely do you think it is that this investigation would happen?
I think it's more likely now than it's ever been, and I think we're really hopeful of victims and survivors and our families in Wisconsin. There are now, I think, 15 states that have opened up investigations of sexual abuse by clergy in their state, and they're especially looking into the history of how church officials responded to these crimes, what they did with victims and reports that came to them. Of course, there's a very documented and established history about what we do know, that those were covered up, and the standard that has been set now is from the result of a two-year grand jury investigation in Pennsylvania that was released last summer. And the result of that investigation and their conclusions were damning and scathing and very detailed. That grand jury determined that thousands of children were sexually assaulted in that state, as they have been elsewhere. But most importantly, as they concluded, these crimes were covered up, including by current bishops and church officials, and that this cover-up, as they talked about it, was horrendous, was, in their words, sophisticated. It resulted in many children being hurt, and that reforms and steps have not been successfully made to end this conduct and this cover-up.
Peter, circling back here to Wisconsin, should there be concern about destruction of records, destruction of evidence?
There's absolute evidence, especially from the Green Bay Diocese, that they systematically destroyed almost all what appears to be their records and criminal evidence of abuse by clergy in that diocese in 2007. That was ordered by Bishop Zubik, who's now the Bishop of Pittsburgh, and he's under investigation, that diocese, right now by the Federal Department of Justice in Pennsylvania. And those admissions were made in court depositions under oath. And right now, the U.S. Department of Justice has every U.S. bishop in the United States under notice that they cannot, absolutely cannot, alter, destroy any files or records that they have. And the records that were destroyed in Green Bay were very specifically exactly the kinds of records and documents that we now know were destroyed in the Green Bay Diocese. And this, obviously this has to be investigated. And the diocese, in their release of names this week, made absolutely no mention about this. And that list that they released in Green Bay is not a complete list. We know at least of 16 offenders that have been investigated and identified by the priest as abusers in that diocese. These were Norbertine priests in particular. But those names are not on that list. And names also do not give you the information about what they did with these reports when they got them. So, you know, there's a lot that has to be looked into.
Talking with Peter Isley, founding member of Ending Clergy Abuse and the organization Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Peter, how does U.S. bankruptcy court factor into these investigations and the process of justice for victims?
It's the story here is long and we can't get into it. But in Wisconsin, victims have not, part of the reasons why you haven't seen these priests that have done this prosecuted is because of two things. One, the statute of limitations, particularly in the past, into the 90s, and it's changed now, but the criminal statute was like 6 years for child sex assault. And so most victims take time to come forward. I mean, if you're assaulted when you were five and what you have until you're like 11 or 12 to somehow come forward, that's changed. But the old statute has allowed for many of these crimes not to be prosecuted. And what we see from, of course, church files and records is that the church deliberately did not report them. And when victims came forward, they were delayed in, you know, holding them out until that statute was gone. But what we do see is that civil cases, being able to file civil cases in court, that's what's brought all this information forward. Now, in Wisconsin, it's been impossible to file a civil case against the church for negligence, which is the usual cause of action that's used in these cases, because there was a decision by our Supreme Court in the 90s that no cases can be filed against a religious organization or a sexually abusive cleric and a supervisor that may have covered up for him and put him in a new parish or assignment, based on the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, that it interfered, doing that interfered with the practice of religion.
Well, let's pause right there and bring in Jerry from Lake Mills with thoughts. Jerry, go ahead.
I read a book some time ago now that indicated that the number of victims from these pedophiles is 250. Now, I know that a lot of these people are the children, and they are reluctant to confess to this, that they've been abused, but these are far, far, far too monstrous of crimes to be left in the hands of churches to sweep under the carpet and declare bankruptcy and wiggle their way out of this.
So, Peter, what does justice look like? Churches, archdioceses, dioceses, they want to keep these investigations local within the church.
Well, correct the caller, the number of victims is in the tens of thousands. Just the number of priests in the United States that have now been identified and acknowledged by the church itself who have committed these acts over the past few decades, and your next guest will talk about this, but is well over 7,000 right now, the 7,000 perpetrators. And so the number of victims are in the tens of, and probably well over 100,000 victims in the United States. So just to be clear, there's a lot of victims, and most victims don't come forward. I think the percentage is going to be under 10%. What needs to happen, of course, about this, with so many victims and so much involvement by the institution, very direct involvement of this, is that our Attorney General has the power and the capacity and the ability to be able to fully investigate, and it needs to be fully investigated, who's committed these crimes, whether individuals can still be prosecuted for these crimes, and again, you know, how the institution and the organization has systematically dealt with these crimes, covered up these crimes.
Peter, we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Peter Isley is founding member of Ending Clergy Abuse, also founding member for Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. At the Green Bay Diocese last week, Bishop David Ricken released the names of 46 priests who are known to have committed sexual offenses against minors over the last 112 years. Here he is at a press conference with audio from the Green Bay Press Gazette.
The hurt they endured at the hands of their perpetrators cannot be undone. I can apologize, but more importantly, I need to show them through action that we are being open and addressing this issue head on.
Green Bay's Police Chief Andrew Smith on Friday called on victims to tell their stories to local law enforcement and not the church. What do you hope for if there is an investigation in Wisconsin? How do you feel about other investigations we've seen around the country in the past few years? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Terry McKiernan. He is founder and president of bishopaccountability.org. That's a clearinghouse for abuse data. Terry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Great to be here, Kate. Thank you.
So investigations like the one the Milwaukee DA is calling for are happening all over the country. What have we seen with these investigations? How do they work? How do states get involved with the church?
The strongest example that we've seen recently is the grand jury investigation in Pennsylvania, and that really has changed the landscape. I don't think that the Green Bay bishop would have made the announcement that he did last week, but for the example of this huge report that came out in August of last year detailing what the church has been up to in six dioceses in Pennsylvania. Now, there have been other grand jury investigations, attorney general investigations elsewhere previously, but the Pennsylvania investigation really does set a new standard.
Pennsylvania is the only state that's completed its investigation, and they're still accepting tips. What happens when an investigation is over?
That's an excellent question, and unfortunately, the answer is a little bit depressing. Many of these investigations in the past have urged lawmakers to change what are known as statutes of limitations to allow people who were abused as children but whose cases are now, quote-unquote, too old under current statutes to get some sort of justice. And regularly these warnings from people who have spent sometimes years studying the problem in that state are ignored. So in Pennsylvania, it was absolutely clear as a result of the investigations that were done last year that the laws had to change. And yet, once again, the Catholic Church and other lobbying groups were able to prevent those changes from happening. So that's one area, I think, where we can hope that some of these, it may be something like 17 investigations that are now going forward, will result in actual legislative change in the states that are investigating.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Winston joining us from Mineral Point. Winston, hi, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This is a situation that people have been aware of for quite some time, and I can't understand why anything hasn't been done about it up until now. But I do understand that the church, Catholic Church, has handled this exemplary. They have done a near perfect job of covering this up for almost 100 years. And let's not forget, half of the population, and by that I mean the females in our country, will never be able to understand a man's passion. It's something that you have to experience.
So, Winston, how do you see justice playing out here?
I'm not sure. I've been on this planet for 60 years. I've seen a lot of changes. I'm not certain that in our particular political climate that any change is possible. We have police officers killing black people at random. We have a turmoil in this country that no one seems to be able to care about. Some people talk about it, but really it's mostly lip service.
Winston, let's pause there. Terry, your organization is called Bishop Accountability. Will the church ever be held accountable here?
I agree with Winston to some extent that it's a depressing track record that we see, and we don't really have reason yet to be very hopeful. One positive sign as a result of the Pennsylvania grand jury report is that we are getting, finally, lists of credibly accused priests coming out of the bishops' offices themselves, where all of the information, after all, resides. And so in the list that came out last week, there were many names on the list of priests who had abused children, and those names had never been known before. So this is a small step, but it's a significant step in the right direction. When you combine that fact with the investigations that are now going forward, I think we are finally going to learn more about the situation. With that information, will we be able to make the changes that are necessary? Will the bishops feel that they need to? Or will we lapse again into a period that we've seen again and again and again in this crisis, where there's attention devoted to it, some changes seem to be made, and then there's backsliding once again?
Looking at these databases that have come out, both locally here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, you can see the resume, so to speak, of where that priest has been in a community, in a parish. So that at least you can see where they have been. Is that helpful for victims to be able to see that? Because on the Milwaukee database, it said images on this page could really hurt you. And I'm paraphrasing here, but this can be some really difficult thing to look at.
I think it's a really good point, Kate. And I have heard both comments from survivors. A close survivor friend of mine has said that this past 6 months or so has been one of the most difficult that she's experienced in all of her time of being a survivor of this terrible thing that happened in her childhood. On the other hand, survivors often say to me that it is consoling and comforting in a terrible way, really, to know that a complaint was made to the Green Bay Diocese, for example, about a priest, and the Green Bay Diocese has finally admitted that that priest is accused. Very, very often, survivors in your communities have not come forward yet. And when they learn that someone else has come forward and that the diocese is actually acknowledging that, there's comfort there. And there's also opportunity for the survivor to come forward. And that coming forward is crucial in this matter, as the police chief that you quoted has said. Now we know the names of a lot of priests accused in Green Bay that we didn't know before. Well, attached to each of those names is, in many cases, a survivor, many survivors. And there's an opportunity now for survivors to do the very, very difficult work of coming forward and telling their stories.
Pope Francis has acknowledged to U.S. bishops that sexual abuse scandals have damaged the Catholic Church. How much of an influence has this had on clergy abuse investigations across the nation? What is the role of Pope Francis here?
The role of Pope Francis is really mixed, Kate. You know, he talks a good game. But when push comes to shove, we just learned in the last couple of days that a cleric in Argentina who was accused of serious offenses was actually sheltered by the Pope at the Vatican. I think the jury is out on this still, and there's a big meeting going to happen in Rome in February, and I hope that the Pope gets behind actual, real, significant change in the Catholic Church, but he has been dithering and weaving, and I don't think right at this very moment he's a force for real change in the situation.
So what will you be watching as investigations play out around the country and also here in Wisconsin?
Well, we certainly hope that the Attorney General in Wisconsin goes forward and takes this good advice that he's gotten. These investigations are sometimes very fruitful and sometimes not. I think we're going to see a real investigation, for example, in Illinois and in Michigan. That should generate a detailed report, as the investigation did in Pennsylvania. We hope that documents come out, because documents really show by how this has happened in a way that's very kind of vivid and impactful.
Terry, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Terry McKiernan is founder and president of bishopaccountability.org. That is a clearinghouse of abuse data. Up next, it's news. Then we take a look at the lawsuits happening in Wisconsin right now, brought by Republicans during the lame duck legislation and laws. And we look at their cost on taxpayers. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.